It's also clear that you've had to spin up a team quite quickly, right? But you're also going to spin down the team very quickly. You know, after the Olympics, I guess shortly after the Lokal will be disbanded. Now, quite a lot of people in the audience will have experience, say, of divestments or outsourcing, where they've got to manage a team of people with a clear end point. Have you got any kind of reflections or lessons about how you do that, how you manage and motivate a team who ultimately will be leaving?
Okay, so there are some similarities and some differences with kind of other situations I've been in where, you know, there were challenging people issues and people had to leave after a certain amount of time. The similarities are, around the fact that people will indeed disappear quickly after the games. The differences are that, of course, all of my people had joined because they wanted to do the Olympics, and that was always part of the deal. So, unlike a situation where maybe you're restructuring for business reasons, people have already signed up to that contract when they joined. And I think that changes the dynamic. But in terms of how we manage it, I think the same kind of rules apply. You need to be honest and clear with your staff about what you're doing and why you're doing it. You need to be clear about what they can expect from the organisation in terms of, say, outplacement support, and clear about what they can't expect. And similar again to other situations, we've structured our HR packages so that people have a kind of redundancy payoff at the end, which, if you like, has a dynamic similar to the kind of retention bonuses that I've seen used in many other similar projects. So that probably gives you the flavour of it.
Have you had any issues? Obviously, as you say, people knew that there's an end to this, but have you found any particular issues and ways to deal with them where people are becoming uncomfortable with the realities, especially given what's happening in the global economy?
So far, not. Okay, I mean, that's a question that I kind of ask myself regularly, because we are now coming to the time where people are saying, well, I've got less than a year, in most cases, you know, more like 9 months worth of work. And so we've just kicked off within the organising committee a programme called Beyond 2012, which is about helping people find roles beyond the games. And that might be with another organising committee, Rio or Glasgow 2014, or another job in, if you like, civilian life. So those processes are underway. Thus far, it doesn't seem to have caused us a problem. And if we come back to motivations, and one of the joys of my job, frankly, is I've got a very highly motivated team. You know, who wants to leave the Olympics 8 months before delivery?
Yeah, absolutely. And just perhaps one other reflection. You alluded to it earlier, that in many organisations, strategy, execution, operations kind of all happen in parallel. But in your organisation, it's almost like everyone does strategy, everyone does execution, then everyone does support and operations. Does that mean you need a different type of people?
That is a challenge. Okay. So I think you're exactly right. I think a number of people on my team who, a couple of years ago, were doing classic strategy and planning tasks, and now we're asking some of those same people to work 24/7 in the Technology Operations Centre. Which, for people who have no previous operational experience, you know, is a challenge for them. And some of them like it, and some of them like it less well. So helping people through that, I think, is kind of one of my tasks and tasks of my leadership team. I think the good news in that, and I'm going to sound like I'm trying to recruit now, is the good news in that is we give people a lot more experience in their year or two with us than they could hope to get in normal life. So, I mean, you know the old saw about how some people have got 20 years experience, it turns out to be 1 year's experience repeated 20 times. Well, I wouldn't say 20 years, but a lot of our people get 5 years experience in 1 year because they have to deal with strategy issues, planning issues, development challenges, operational issues, and actually wind up and shut down issues. And there aren't too many people out there who've got IT experience across that full life cycle. So it's a challenge for some, but it's also a big benefit.
Pros and cons. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the other thing is, for them and for you, it's like an intense transformation experience, where for many people in the audience, there's a mixture of ongoing operations and transformation. I wonder if you reflect, are there two or three kind of top messages from your experience about how to lead a transformation?
Let me take it as read that when you're leading a transformation, you've got the basics in place. So, first of all, you know where you're going, you know what your target looks like, you have some sort of plan, both for resources and your delivery plan. So let me take that as read, and talk a little bit about what my reflections of having done this job and other transformation roles are. Very much from a leadership perspective. And I think the trick, or one of the tricks, is as the overall leader and owner of the transformation, is to maintain a sufficient detachment from what might be your program, your baby. Keep enough detachment from it to be able to, from time to time, intervene and change it, and not get too wedded to what your original vision and concept of either what or how you were going to deliver it. And so you need the space to be able to do that. You also need to be able to do that to a degree with your customer's eyes. So if you get too wedded to the transformation that you're driving, you tend to lose that objectivity that you need to be able to listen to the stakeholders, to be able to change in the way that you need to be able to tune it and shape it in the way that you actually, in my experience of transformations, regularly have to. So I think that's the kind of first thing. And on the same theme of maintaining a level of objectivity and detachment, I think there's something about not trying to do your team's jobs for them. I'm stating the obvious now, but I think a lot of transformation leaders try and be the program manager supremo. You can't do that. Detachment, delegation, objectivity, I think it's important. And this is standard management now. I don't think it's particularly about transformation, but oftentimes it's helpful to make your decisions in a collegiate way. Oftentimes it's important to be an autocrat, and you just need to know which is which.